Now, I believe that the book of Proverbs is very important for each of us because each of us are on a personal journey that lasts a lifetime. Everyone is going somewhere. Even if things seem static in your life at the moment, that's because the condition at the end of our lives, it's not just about the destination, it's about the condition of my heart. So the condition of my heart and my inner character really matter. Proverbs shows us that we're becoming the end of our journey. We're either becoming more like Jesus or less like Jesus. And every moment takes us closer to that end. You see it clearly with older people who haven't known God and allow bitterness to dominate their lives, characters and personalities. Finally, they end up old, twisted, poisonous, full of cursing and hatred. And you may sadly know people like that. But you also see it in older people who've loved God, who've walked with him over many decades. You see in their life the sweet certainty of eternal life, the joyous expectation of meeting Jesus very soon, the beautiful character of Jesus shining out for everything they do and everything they say. And it's because you become your destination that your character is very, very important. And that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. The book of Proverbs is about building the character in us. God speaks to us through the book of Proverbs to give us wisdom about the practicalities of life to help our characters become more like Jesus. God has given us this book of Proverbs as wisdom from heaven for living here on earth. Over the past months, we've met a series of people, a series of characters in the book of Proverbs. As we've read through the book, we meet these people. And these characters appear for a few verses like actors coming on stage. And then they reappear a little later in the book and we meet them again. In fact, Proverbs can be thought of as like a play with actors appearing on stage, saying their lines and then going off, only to reappear later at a further act in the play. So far, we've met characters like the fool. The fool was this character who wasn't stupid. The fool wasn't the character who wasn't educated or dumb. The fool was the character who didn't go God's way, but did what was right in his own eyes. Then we met the wise person. And the wise person was someone not who'd been to university or college or educated, but the wise person was someone who did God's plan for their lives. We met the sluggard. The sluggard was this person who was too lazy to find out what God's plan for his life was. And then we met last week the mocker. The mocker was this person too cynical to trust God's plan for his life. See, each character inspires us, challenges us in what it means to follow Jesus in the everyday decisions that we face. Tomorrow morning you get up and you're going to face a whole series of decisions. And those decisions affect your character, the direction that you're heading in your life. Our life is not made up of big decisions. Our life's made up of incremental little decisions that I make every day. This week we've got another character to meet. This week we're going to meet the character called the friend. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have a purpose in changing us and making us more like your Son. And we ask today, would you come and would you teach us, would you help us, would you open our spiritual eyes to see what it means to be like Jesus in our lives, in our situations, with our responsibilities, with the challenges we face. Jesus, practically, in a very real way, would you help us? Help us that we would be challenged and changed, that we would be encouraged, and that you'd help us today to become more like you. Amen. Years ago, I had a friend who went on a Christian conference. When he came back from the Christian conference, it was a big conference, international speakers, thousands of people, massive thing. Came back and he was very excited because he'd heard some teaching on the conference and he wanted to share it. And that the teaching went something like this. It went, the reason that the Holy Spirit, this is the teaching that he heard on the conference, that the reason the Holy Spirit's moving on the earth now is because God is lonely and he's looking for a place where he can come. And when he was sharing, he was very excited about this. As I was, he was saying, I was thinking, something's not quite right about what this guy's saying. That something doesn't seem to quite add up. The more I thought about it, the more I reflected on how God has revealed himself, realized what a load of rubbish it was that he'd heard on this conference. The thing is that God has revealed himself as Trinity. God has revealed himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And from eternity, before God made anything, there was God. There was God the Father loving God the Son, and God the Son loving God the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit loving God the Father. There was a perfect community from eternity. Actually, love has existed from eternity. And it wasn't that God was lonely, so thought, I must make a creation. I'm so lonely, I need someone to keep me company. Not at all. That God had such perfect fellowship, such perfect community, such perfect family, such perfect love in himself, that the overflow of that, it was just so wonderful that he wanted to express it. And that creation is an expression of God's love. And that you are created out of the overflow of God's love. Not because God needed us, but because in his overflowing, bountiful love, wanted to express something of that love, which is in himself. And so it's not true that God's lonely. We're talking today about friendship, and friendship began in heaven. Friendship began before there was anything in the whole universe. All there was God. All there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there was perfection of friendship in eternity in God. Friendship is God's idea. In fact, it's more than God's idea. Friendship is fact part of who God is. It's part of his character. In Genesis, we see when God made things in the beginning, God pronounced it good. Everything he made, God made it and he said, this is good, and this is good, and this is good, and this is good. Everything that flowed out of God's creation, God pronounced as good. The first thing in creation that wasn't good, in Genesis 2, everything had been good up to a point. And then there comes a point where God says, it's not good to be alone. The first thing that wasn't good was the fact it wasn't good to be alone. God has made us for friendship. God's made us for community because that's how God is. And we're made in his image. We're made to some extent like God. God's made us in his image, like him, in a limited sense. And part of that fact we're made in his image is that we're made for community. We're made for friendship. We're made to live connected lives. We are not made to live isolated. It's impossible to be a Christian on your own. We were made for community. We were made for friendship. Now, this week's character, we're looking at Proverbs, is the friend. In fact, there's two characters, to be frank about it. In Proverbs, we're going to meet two characters. We're going to meet the bad friend, and we're going to meet the good friend. Because often in Proverbs, you get a contrast. Often the way Proverbs teaches us is by saying, this is the bad, but this is the good. And by looking at the contrast, we can learn something for our lives. And so we're going to meet these two chaps this week as we look through Proverbs. And through them, what we're going to look at is two things. We're going to look at how can I be a better friend to other people, and also how can I be wise in who I choose to be my friend. So two aspects we're looking at that Proverbs deals with is being a friend to someone and then wisdom in choosing good friends. Of course, in everyday speech, the word friend is used very casually. According to Facebook, I've got lots of friends. Lots. I get requests on Facebook from people who maybe I knew years and years ago, just fleetingly. And it's a way to keep, I'm sure you do too, it's a good way to keep up with people. But I get friends requests in Facebook from people that you've never met. People that are friends of friends of friends of friends of friends. And they send you a friend request. Now, that friend request has got there's no indication at all they actually want to be your friend. They simply want to increase the number of people friended on their Facebook account so it can look like they've got more friends. You know, the number of Facebook friends is limited to 4,999. If that's not enough for you, you can request a celebrity profile. If you get a celebrity profile, hope you're listening. Some of you, I can see some of you keen to get one of these. You're allowed to have more than that. There's a limitless number. If you actually have a celebrity profile, and then your friends are called fans, and not special. You can have millions of friends in that case. Because the number of Facebook friends doesn't indicate anything about actual friendship. In fact, the second most popular person in the whole of Facebook community is currently the cartoon character of Homer Simpson. But to think about real friendship, we've got to start thinking about relationships that surround my life. And each of us have a whole network of different relationships. We've got family, close family and extended family. We've got people that we work with. If you're a parent, then maybe you've got other parents that you go to school, meet them in the playground. You've got neighbours, some good neighbours, some bad neighbours. Some classmates, maybe you're in touch. We're in touch with people from college. When we're at school, we just keep in touch with them. There's acquaintances, people who we kind of know enough to talk to and share a little bit of life, but wouldn't count them as friends. And then there's people, maybe mentors, people we look up to for advice, or people maybe that we would look up to us for advice. And we can call any of these relationships loosely friends, but not all the people with whom I'm in relationship with can really be friends in a meaningful way. And so this morning, I want to think about friendship in two directions. Because God has made us for vertical friendship and horizontal friendship. In the beginning in Genesis 3, we see God walking in the Garden of Eden at the cool of the day to spend time with Adam. We see the first vertical friendship between God and Adam. And of course, in one sense, it's not an equal friendship. God and Adam. Nevertheless, it is a genuine friendship. God was walking with Adam, enjoying life, walking with him. Later in Exodus 33, we see it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. So God walked with Moses in such a way, it was a friendship. Later on in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, again, we see Abraham's relationship with God is such that it was a friendship. It was a vertical friendship from an almighty, powerful God, but nevertheless, it was a friendship. And of course, when Jesus became human form, took on human form, God took on human form. He revealed more fully how it was possible for us to know God as a friend. John 15:13, Jesus said this, greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus counted his followers as his friends. And he was saying, I'm going to lay down my life for you, for my friends. Next verse, he said this to his followers. He said, you are my friends if you do what I command. And so we see that an aspect of friendship with God, a vertical relationship with God, is such that there's a friendship, but nevertheless, he's still God, and I'm still his creation. And so actually, part of that friendship is me obeying him, is me doing what God asked me to do. Continues in verse 15, Jesus says, I no longer, talking to his disciples, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I've learned from the Father, I've made known to you. Many years ago, I came to London about 30 years ago, and I arrived in London and I didn't have any family in London. I didn't have any friends in London. I didn't have a church in London. I simply came to work. And so I arrived at the place I was working, and they arranged for me to stay in a hostel. So I had a room that was 6 foot by 10 foot. That was my room, bed and a little kind of cupboard. And I knew nobody, not a soul. Me and 7 million people. And I felt so isolated. I mean, London is a very isolatory place. And there I was, and I went to work. And then when I finished work, I came home, and I knew nobody. And I started to pray. I'd become a Christian a few years before at college. And as I was reading the Bible, I came to a passage in Psalm 62 where David talked of his experience of being alone and knowing God. And God spoke to me so clearly through this passage. In Psalm 62, verse 1, it says this. David, it's a David speaking. He says, "My soul finds rest in God alone." When everyone, there was no one else around, when he was totally forsaken, actually, I could find solace. I could find company. I could find friendship. I could find rest for my soul, for my inward emotions and personality. I could find this rest in God alone. He continues, "My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock. He's the one I can depend on. When everything else shifts and changes, God is firm. God's not going to let me down. God's going to be there." And there I was in my room on my own, knowing no one, knowing God, as God was speaking to me, saying he was my rock. Something happened in my heart that day. I realized this is real. This is for me. David goes on in verse 5 and he starts to, I love the way that David does. Firstly, he reminds himself of the truth. In verse 1, he says, "Look, my soul finds rest in God." This is the truth. This is the reality of my spiritual relationship with my Father, with God the Father. But then he speaks to himself in verse 5, halfway down there. It says, "Find rest, O my soul." He's saying, "Come on, soul. You may feel lonely. You may feel downcast. You may feel as though no one cares, but you can find rest. You can find rest in God alone." It was experience. For David, it was more than just a theological truth. It was an experience of coming close to God and finding friendship and closeness with God. And in my little room on my own, I experienced that. For me, it was a foundational part of what it meant in my relationship with God, was knowing that God was and is my friend. And I want to say this morning that for some of us, some of our friendships are not working good, because we're looking for elements of friendship which actually only God himself can give. Every one of us needs a vertical friendship and a horizontal friendship. We're going to come on to horizontal in a moment. But actually, there's some things that we were made to get from God. Firstly, security. Deep down sense that my life is in God's hands. And we can go and try and get that from other people. We can go either to family or to friends and try and get that security, when actually only God himself can give me that security. Only God can whisper into my heart that he's going to be my rock. He's going to be there. He's going to keep me. He's going to watch over me. He's going to love me. He's going to be keep me to eternity. Only God can fundamentally give me that security. And so if I look for it to other people, I'm going to be disappointed, because they're not going to be able to give me this deep down security that only I was made for God to give me. Secondly, significance. I need to know that my life's valuable. I need to know I'm not just an accident. I need to know that my life wasn't just a mistake. My life wasn't just serendipity. Actually, there's a plan. There's a purpose. My life is significant. I'm more than a national insurance number. There's more to me than that. There's something significant about my life. And if I go and look to friends or family or other people trying to get that significance, they're not going to do it. Not because they don't love me, but because they can't do it. Only God can speak into my heart and give me that sense of worth and value, that I know that he loves me. And if he loves me, everything's okay. Only God can rescue me. There are times when things go wrong in my life, and I may look to friends, "Can you help me? Things are going wrong." And they can do so much. They can try, they can give you help and advice and certain amount. But at the end of the day, only God is the one who can rescue. Only the God is the one who's saved. God is my heavenly Father, who has got all power and can intervene in any aspect of my life. Your friends can't do that. They can be a help, but only God can come and change some situations. So if I'm looking for friends to bail me out of a situation, no, they're not going to be able to. I'm going to be disappointed. Only God can come and can change some situations. So there are these things that only God can do. But also, we need horizontal relationships to help us through the difficulties of life. And part of friendship is helping others with the burdens of things that happen in our lives. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 10 says this: "If one falls down, a friend can help him up. A lovely picture there of friendship. Someone falls down and a friend comes and just helps them get back up again. And in Scripture we see there are actually three people that can help me on a daily basis carry my burdens, my responsibilities, the things in my life. The first person who can help me, Galatians 6:2, talking to the church, it says, carry each other's burdens. So one of the things about being a friend is that other people can help. Obviously, each one of us have got quite a lot happening in our own lives. There's only so much capacity all of us have. But part of friendship is actually helping others with the difficulties they're going through. Encouraging them, getting alongside them, praying with them, helping them, being a friend through those things. Part of friendship is carrying each other's burdens. But secondly, according to Paul in Galatians 6:5, actually it says carry your own burdens. So there's two aspects here. Part of friendship isn't just dumping all my stuff on someone else and saying, right now, you sort it out, you help me, you're my friend, you bail me out. Actually, Paul's saying, you have got responsibilities, I've got responsibilities, and part of those responsibilities, I've got to walk down this path. I've got to take responsibilities for the challenges in my life. I can't look to abdicate my responsibilities, blame someone else, blame my husband, blame my mum, blame my dad. Actually, I've got to take my responsibilities for my life. Carry your own burdens. But then the third person, wonderfully, who's there to help us is, of course, 1 Peter 5:7, Jesus. He says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. And this is the most, Jesus is there. So this week I was waking up in the middle of the night. I was struggling with something. There was an issue. I was thinking about how am I going to solve this? How am I going to sort it out? What am I going to do to kind of sort this thing out? What does it say? Give all your worries, all your burdens, all your cares, the things that keep you awake at night, the things that are the back of the mind gnawing away, worrying us, give them all to Jesus. Yes, my friends can help carry my burdens. Yes, I've got responsibility to take responsibility for my own life. But wonderfully, part of salvation means we have a friend called Jesus. And I can give everything that's on my mind to him and say, Jesus, would you come and help? Jesus, would you come and get me through these things, these challenges that lie ahead? So we've seen this morning that friends can help us. What advice does Proverbs give us about choosing a friend? We're going to meet these two characters, the bad friend and the good friend. We're going to start off by looking at the bad friend, first of all. And so this is the type of friend you don't want to have. It's possible to choose badly. It's possible to choose friends badly. And Proverbs warns us about choosing friends badly. If we choose friends badly, it's not going to be very helpful. First thing it says in Proverbs 22:24, it says, Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. Thing is, if you've got a friend, you want to be able to share with them, you want to be able to talk to them and feel relaxed. You don't want to be on edge all the time thinking, are they going to explode any minute? As you're talking and sharing about things in your heart, you want a friend that you're going to have confidence that as you're talking, they're not about to erupt like a volcano. And so the advice of Proverbs is be careful who you choose as a friend. Don't choose someone who's easily angered. And in terms of you being a good friend, if you think, yes, that's me, actually, I can be easily angered, then it's something to take before God and say, God, would you change me? Make me a better friend, that I'm not easily angered, that things don't spark me off, I don't suddenly flare up, because that doesn't help friendship. Secondly, Proverbs 16, verse 28, says, a gossip separates close friends. And Proverbs 17:9, it says, whoever covers an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. So I don't want to share something with a friend thinking, what are they going to do with what I'm sharing? If I share something about myself that's personal, I don't want to see it on Facebook the next day. If I'm sharing something, I want a confidence that as I'm sharing, this person is going to listen and it's not going to go any further. A big cornerstone in friendship, I believe, is actually confidentiality. It's actually being prepared to have a heart to listen and not to repeat. Even if, for whatever reason, there are some reasons. Like obviously, if someone's about to do something very stupid or very dangerous, or there's child protection issues, there are some very limited areas where we do need to go to the person and say, "What you shared with me, I feel is very serious, and I feel I need to talk to you about it. We need to go and talk together to someone else about it." But 99% of time, actually, what people share are just stuff from their lives. But someone's not going to share stuff with me if they think I'm going to pass it on, however innocently and whatever happened. It's very important that I don't do that. Thirdly, I don't want a friend who can't empathize. Look at Proverbs 25:20. It says, like one who takes away a garment on a cold day. It's quite relevant for today, isn't it? Or someone who pours vinegar onto a wound. Oh dear, that's nasty, isn't it? This is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. You see, you don't want someone who's superficial. I'm going through a really tough time. My friend comes, slaps me on the back and says, "Praise the Lord! Isn't God good?" And actually what you need is just someone just to sit down and to pray with you and to listen to what your heart, listen to what's happening. They don't need someone who's superficial, but actually someone who's willing to connect with my heart and what's happening in my life. So actually it's very important to be able to empathize. Next thing, bad friends, unreliability. Proverbs 25:19. Like a broken tooth or a lame foot is reliance on an unfaithful in a time of trouble. I turn to a friend and they let me down. Now, one of the things we're going to see this morning is one of the massive parts of friendship, according to Proverbs, is actually faithfulness. Faithfulness is such a big part of friendship. Not in the sense of being able to say, "Right, I can pick up the phone 24 hours a day. I need you to come round now." Not that kind of thing. But in the sense of being able to turn to a friend and say, "Would you be able to help me with these things, whatever those things are?" And the person be able to help you. Next thing is that is some people that want to be friends, actually, they want too much. Look what it says in Proverbs 25:17. Seldom set your foot in a neighbor's house. Too much of you and they will hate you. See, some people want to come round every night. They want to phone and text and email. They send you a text, then phone. "Did you get my text?" They want too much and their friendship is just too much. It's just too much. Stop. Stop it, please. And so actually, in terms of our friendship, we're going to see as we look at the positive side of friendship, friendship is something very delicate. Friendship is something very precious. And friendship is something which grows over time and has to be cared for and nurtured. It's not something I can demand. I can't come to you today and say, "Hello, Bob, will you be my friend?" Bob thinks, "Oh, that's a bit weird." "What does this guy want? Too much, too much." Back off. Next thing Proverbs tells us about friends is beware in Proverbs 16:28, beware of troublemakers. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Some people, just wherever they go, they just stir up trouble. It's just that they're just, whatever relationships they're in is just trouble, 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 trouble. Beware, be careful. Those are signs of not a person who's not going to be a good friend. And lastly, there's a friend who's fickle. King David experienced this in Psalm 41, verse 9. David had a close friend. He says this, "My close friend whom I trusted. He even shared my food. He was at my table. He came to my house. He was a good friend. But he has lifted up his heel against me." In other words, he's turned his back. And all you could see is his foot as he disappeared in the distance. This friend was fickle. Proverbs 19 tells us that wealth brings friends, but a poor man's friends desert him. Some people are friends with you for what they can get. And that's not true friendship. Proverbs saying some people are just after getting from you something. May not be money, maybe time, maybe attention, maybe something that's just trying to get from you. But that's not true friendship. Beware. Many curry favor with a ruler. This is Proverbs 19:6. Many curry favor with a ruler, but everyone is a friend is a man. Sorry, everyone is the friend of a man who gives gifts. And giving gifts, it can be good. It can be good giving gifts. But actually, with something in terms of our friendships, that we just need wisdom, because friendship can't be bought with gifts. And so we just need wisdom in terms of who and how we give gifts to. See, some friends actually turn out to be fickle. Now, Proverbs goes on. That's the kind of negative side. That's the bad friend. Let's look at what Proverbs says about the good friend. Because we also meet this character in the book of Proverbs. And let's see, there are five things, there are five character features of this person called the good friend that are helpful to think about. Firstly, so that we can be a good friend to others, and so I can be wise in who I choose to be my friends. Firstly, a friend must be constant. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. In other words, just a friend just accepts you as you are. A friend doesn't just want to be demanding or want something from you. A friend accepts. A friend loves at all times. Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Talking about how a friend's going to be there for you. A friend's going to be constant, not going to let you down. See, in families, we expect, to some extent in families, you expect them to be on your side and to help you and things like that. But actually what he's saying here is actually there's a friend who's more than that. More than the loyalty of a family. This friend is constant. He's there. She's there for you. I want to ask you this morning, who sticks by you? Who sticks by you? Because the person, people who stick by you, that's an indication they're a good friend. And that's an indication that maybe you want to nurture that friendship. Maybe you want to grow that friendship. Maybe you want to invest in that friendship. Because that's an indicator that that person is a good friend. And how you can be a good friend to other people is by being there, by being constant, by being faithful. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says this, a faithful man, who can find? In other words, it's rare. It's rare to find someone who's going to stick with you. It's rare to find someone who's going to be there for you. It's rare. And so if you find a friend like that, that's a friend worth keeping. That's a friend worth investing time in. That's a friend worth praying for and nurturing that friendship. So a friend must be constant. Second thing Proverbs tells us is a friend must be candid. By candid, I mean honest. You see, someone may see you heading down a path in your life, and they can see you making bad choices. They can see you heading in a wrong direction. But if they say nothing, if they think, well, then what they're doing there is not good. I know that's heading in a bad direction. If they say nothing, that is not a friend and that is not love. Because love cares enough to say something. Love cares enough to risk the friendship by saying lovingly, considerately, in a balanced way, in a mature way, with grace, without condemning. Do you think that's the best thing in this situation? Do you think those choices are really going to lead you in the right way? And a friend will risk the friendship to actually say something. They'll be candid. They'll be honest. Look what it says in Proverbs 27:6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. And it can feel like that. If someone says to you, why are you doing that? What's the kind of... you think, whoa, hang on a minute. Oh, it's up to me. What business is it of yours? I remember years ago, when I was young and foolish, I was in a team of people, and it was an outreach, it was a Christian evangelistic team, and the leader came to me, he took me one side, and just in a very loving way, he just sort of said, what are you doing? Is this kind of why are you behaving like this? My immediate reaction was, who do you think you are? Who are you to challenge me? Actually, I'm very glad looking back that he gently challenged the way I was behaving. Because he thought I was behaving inappropriately. I was young, I was, whatever. And he just thought, so he challenged it. And that one element of friendship is actually challenging each other carefully, lovingly, not in a condemning, accusatory way, but actually, if we love someone, if I love you, I don't want to see your life end up in some bad choices. And so actually saying something is part of friendship. Who cares for you enough to say tough things? Who cares for you enough? Who do you care about enough to say tough things to? Third thing is a friend must be counselling. We've had constant, candid, and counselling. You guessed right, they're all C's. The friend must be counselling. Proverbs 27:9, the pleasantness of one friend springs from earnest counsel. Isn't that a lovely proverb? There's something about hearing advice from a friend that's good, that's encouraging, that builds you, that strengthens you. Do you know the amazing thing is, people around you have got a lot more wisdom than you think they have. People who are around you, your friends, people around, actually have loads of experience that if you would humble yourself and ask, you'd save yourself a lot of hassle. You'd save yourself making a lot of wrong decisions if you'd humble yourself and ask. When Barbara and I got married years ago, when we got engaged, one of the first things we did is we went round the married couples, the friends, the married couples in the church, invited ourselves round for a meal, always a good thing, and then said, okay, we'll watch your wedding video if we have to. So watch the wedding video, and then we said, right, now tell us, what have you learned about marriage? What are the things you've learned about life and marriage? Because realised, actually, I don't know anything about it. I haven't a clue. And actually, it was amazing. It was amazing if we ask what people are willing to say. People are willing to share some very amazing things. And there's incredible, God has put incredible wisdom in his people. And if you're willing to ask, God would use people around to teach and to train and to give you incredible advice. You know, I think it's very important not to make big decisions in your life until you ask friends around you. I'm thinking of doing this. I feel God's leading me this way. Would you pray about it? Would you share what you feel God's saying? Now, obviously, you only do that with friends. You don't do that with enemies. But you do it with people that you trust. Because it's incredible safety. It's an incredible safety. Because if I think God is speaking to me a certain way, it's amazing how easy I can delude myself. It's amazing how easily I can think God's saying something because I really want something to happen. So I'm kind of really thinking that. Rather actually than going to friends and saying, would you just pray and say what you feel? And I personally wouldn't in my life now, I wouldn't make a major decision out of going to Bob and Nick and saying, look, I'm making these, this is what I feel about this decision. Would you pray? Would you tell me what you think God's saying? Because there's incredible safety. When I was at college, I became a Christian when I was at college, got really close to this guy at college, and we had this little deal. I said to him, we had this deal that I won't get married, okay, unless you approve of the person that I think I want to get married to. And you don't get married unless I approve of that person. And so we had this little deal. And we saved each other from lots of heartache, I'll tell you. Because every time he had someone who was kind of potential, I'd get the phone call, and he lived miles away. So I'd go up, spend the weekend, no chance. Forget it. Might be good looking, but nothing on the inside. Forget it. And so we've had this thing. And by God's grace, I've got my lovely wife. And he's got a lovely Christian wife too. So not in a heavy sense or a kind of binding sense or a sense of, but in a godly way, in a right way, we can open our lives up to each other with those we trust, with those that are good friends, and say, would you help me walk the path? Would you help me avoid pitfalls? Would you help me walk away in that's actually going to be a way that ends up in my life in fruitfulness? This is what it says in Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and you become wise. See, if you look around, who do I respect? As I spend time with that person, then something's going to rub off on my life. So we've had friends are constant, friends are candid, friends are counselling, friends are last of all, not last of all, fourthly, are considerate. Job 2:11, Job had three friends, and they heard about his troubles. They set out from their homes. They met together to sympathize with him, comfort him, and spend time with him. See, Job had lost everything. He'd lost money, he'd lost family, he'd lost status, he'd lost his health. He had nothing. He was sat there in a pile of ashes, scraping his sores with a piece of broken pot. And he was just absolutely just nothing. They didn't go to him for his money. They went to him because they were friends. And they just sat with him. And to start with, interestingly enough, they empathized. They said nothing. They just sat with him. They just saw the misery he was in. Didn't slap him on the back, say, come on, it'll be fine. Don't worry. They just sat with him. And as they sat with him, they were empathized with him in the heartache that he was going through. And then they started to, now actually it turned out a lot of what they said was a load of rubbish. but they tried. They went with him to comfort him. Question is, who cares for you? If you see someone who cares, that's an indication they're a good friend. That's an indication it's a relationship to invest time in and effort in. Who cares for you? Who can you care for? Look around. How can I care better? What could I do to care better for those around me? How could I build my friendships better by caring like Job's friends did in a more practical way? Lastly, a friend must be cautious. Proverbs 12:26. A righteous man is cautious in friendship. You see, the thing is, friendship is very precious. Friendship grows over time. And so someone that knocks on your door and says, hi, I want to be best friends with you tonight, it's not possible. Aristotle, the great Greek philosopher, says, wishing to be friends is quick work, but friendship is a slow ripening fruit. It takes time. It takes time. All these facets of friendship that we've talked about, it takes time to build that trust. It takes time to build a relationship that actually can stand all the stuff that I've talked about. It's not going to happen all overnight. The important thing about friendship is it's reciprocal. It's not me caring for someone. See, God's called me to be friendly to everyone. God's called me to be friendly with my neighbours, friendly with my family, friendly with the people on the bus, friendly with the people at the bus stop, friendly with my colleagues at work. God's called me to be friendly. And our mission is to go and be friendly and touch the lives of as many people as we can. But we're not called to be friends with everyone. There's a difference. Friendship is something reciprocal. Friendship is something that there's two of us, there's me and a friend, and together we are sharing. Together I'm encouraging, they're encouraging me. There's a sense of togetherness in it. It's not me just serving someone. There's a great place, an important part in relationships that I would serve people, that I would give myself in serving, absolutely. But in terms of friendship in this sense, in the sense that's defined, I believe, in Proverbs, this sense of friendship is actually a sense of an equality of relationship where I'm loving and being loved, where I'm giving and they're giving back. There's something that grows between us that is reciprocal. God has called us to be friendly with everyone, but not friends with everyone. Because we can't. There's not enough hours in the day. There's not enough emotional energy in your tank to be friends with everyone. See, friendships are not static things. Most friendships change over time. And so you've got some friends now who, because of the season of life you're in, things are going to change. Maybe you get a busier job. And your friend doesn't. Your friend's got loads of time. That's going to affect your friendship. Maybe you have children. Your friend doesn't have children. That's going to affect your friendship. Maybe you move away to a different part of the UK or a different part of the world. That's going to affect your friendship. Friendships change over time. But some new friendships start up. Friendships are dynamic things. And we've got to have, under God, we've got to have a heart of, God, would you help me to be wise in choosing friends? And would you help me to be a good friend to those who are around? Some rare friendship even survive years, even survive decades. Finally today, the punchline of today is this. You and I have been made in God's image for friendship. I can't, no, there's this, that phrase, no man is an island. I cannot just live life on my own. Think, forget everyone else. I'm just going to power ahead with my resources. Me and God, we're going to do it. No, actually, God's made me, God's made you to be interconnected with a dynamic community of friends. Friends can be an incredible source of sadness and unhappiness. If you have chosen badly in the past, even as I've been talking this morning, you may think, you may be reminded of someone who is a friend, actually aware that person is demanding, over-demanding. They're manipulative, they're controlling. They've got an influence in my life which isn't a wholesome one or a good one or a godly one. Their effect in my life isn't good. They're not blessing me. They're not bringing blessing. They're not bringing counsel. They're not bringing wisdom. They're not serving me. They're not loving me. Actually, the relationship could be toxic. And so there may be friendships that as we pray about them, God shows us, actually, we need to let those friendships go. And we need to pray and look, God, would you help me around my life gather those that are going to be candid and counseling and constant, all the things we've looked at, that they would be good friends, because I need good friends. You need good friends. And specifically because of the changing nature of London, nothing, not your fault, not my fault. People move, situations change, people's life circumstances change. And so all the time, this is a dynamic process of some friends fading away, not for any bad reason, just because life changes. And then new friends come along, new opportunities and new friendships come. But I feel we need to be proactive. Rather than just sit and see what happens or let people come into my life as they want to, actually, friendship is about me taking the proactive thing, praying, looking. Where is there a budding friendship, a friendship starting, where there's some goodness coming from this person that I can encourage and I can reciprocate and we can develop something together? We may, after this morning, need to scale back on some friendships. Think, actually, this is not good. This doesn't do me good. And we may be looking around and seeing some friendships that are only just starting, but actually they've got all the right hallmarks. This is going to be good. By God's grace, this is going to be something that really encourages and builds my life. The encouragement today, I want to finish with this point, is don't let friendships drift. Sometimes we've got a good friend and we just drift apart because I don't take the time and effort and put my time into nurturing and keeping that friendship going. So it just drifts apart. I need wisdom. God, would you give me wisdom in choosing friendships? And God, would you help me? Would you teach me to be a better friend to others? And finally, God, would you help me? My friendship with Jesus, would you help me to enjoy and to grow my enjoyment of my friendship with Jesus? Let's pray and close our eyes. Father, thank you that you've made us in your image. You've made us, Lord, to some extent, you've made us in your image like you for the capacity for friendship and relationship. And Lord, I want to ask today, would you please help us, each one of us. But I want to pray particularly for those of us that are enmeshed in relationships that are destructive or manipulative or controlling, relationships that are not good, relationships that are tearing down, not building up. God, would you give us wisdom as to how to manage those friendships, Lord? Would you give us courage? Would you give us boldness? Will you help us, Lord, to be free from being pushed around by other people? Father, would you do something in our hearts that we would be strong in you to choose friends wisely and to be a good friend? And Father, I pray Lord, for each of our hearts, that we would be better and better at being good friends. Lord, would you help us value the friendships we have, nurture the friendships we have, grow new friendships wisely. Help us, Lord, give us wisdom in choosing our friends. And Father, would you help my relationship with Jesus? Would you help us, our relationship with you, Lord, to enjoy our friendship, enjoy the closeness that's been opened up to us through the gospel, the closeness and intimacy of knowing you. Father, would you help us to be a people who would know their God, who would have that friendship close with you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Just as we're quiet this morning, if you feel that there is a friendship that's good, but it's kind of just drifting because it needs more time, more effort, more energy put into it. But you've recognized this is a good thing. This friendship is a good one. And just would you bring it before God and say, Father, would you help me? Give me wisdom as how to invigorate this friendship, how to help this friendship blossom and be good for both. Just bring before God any friendships that you feel maybe just have touched your heart this morning that are good ones. If I've been talking this morning, you felt alarm bells going about a friendship that isn't good and hasn't been a blessing and isn't a blessing, then would you bring that to God in prayer? Say, God, I pray for this person. I bless them. Pray for them. Ask that you would work in their heart and life. But Lord, give me the courage not to be manipulated, not to be controlled, not to be pushed around, but to seek your will in this relationship. If, as I've taught this morning, you think, I would like some more friends, then two things I want to say. Firstly, is make sure, get more into Jesus and into your friendship with him. And look at how you can be a friend to people. And then seek God's will in terms of choosing good friends. It's a very practical thing I'm talking about this morning. So I'm going to finish there rather than us do anything else. Why don't you turn around to the person behind you, shake their hand, say welcome.